Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Great. Awesome.
Good. Everybody's stretching. Okay, yeah, all right. We've been continuing our engagement in the study of our character and why our character matters. We've journeyed through much of the Old Testament. We looked at the book of Revelation. We saw a little bit of Peter and Paul. And so as of late, we've been studying the impact of Jesus. And out of that, we've discovered that his mission was being a kingdom bringer, right? Launching the kingdom, the way of God. And today I want to look at a story from Mark's gospel that I think will help us understand Jesus's understanding of himself as being the great physician that brings a cure to the deceitful heart, and the deceitful heart as that referred to in Jeremiah 17:9. Whew. Boy, that's quite an introduction. Okay, yeah, no wonder everybody's yawning, right? So, let's just jump right into this. If I could have someone read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, beginning at verse 14, concluding with verse, what was that, 23?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull," he asked, "when you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from the inside and defile a person."
Okay. All right. Initial thoughts, comments, questions.
The evils within.
You want to expound on that?
Well, I mean, the evils within, you need to be cleansed. You need to cleanse yourself.
True. Keep going. How does that happen?
Through God.
Why would that happen? I'll come back to that. How about you? What jumps out of you? Okay.
I'm right here where it says 20. So what comes out of a person with the files? I'm like, how good do you look? You know, how well you look put together, no matter what your degree, you got a degree, you got all these accounts, and zeros in your bank account. At the end of the day, we're all gonna be worm food. So like, what's it, you know what I mean? So like, it's what's inside, it's our character that counts. Where's your heart? I mean, how are you treating people? What difference are you making? Because that's what really counts. In the end, what are those plaques on the wall going to do, or all this, or the cars you had, or, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's like that whitewashed tomb, but inside there's still a rotten corpse. We're like, you know, so what we do, we put some cologne on and try to cover up our rotten flesh. You know, that's what comes out.
It says a little earlier, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." And this is where we're stubborn, so we take all that's in, but it's not what we put out. It's our response is completely contradictory to it. It's our reaction that's false. So yeah, we're learning all these things, we know how to do it, but we're not putting in practice what we preach. That's a deceitful heart. So I think it's always a constant practice. You can't learn to do something just to do it, because you get better the more you do it. So we're constantly practicing. So you might start off by saying, what'd you say to me? Well, you too. And go from that to, what'd you say to me? Never mind. And then go from that to, sorry. You know, but you get better with time. I don't know, I always like the analogy of, like, when a lawyer goes into practice, they have to practice through school to become a lawyer, but they still call it a practice through their whole career.
Yeah, they get better as they go.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You got anything? Anything jump out of you?
I lost.
Okay. Anything come back to you? Okay.
Short wired on the brain today, huh?
So a couple things. Let's put the pericope in its context. All right. So you have Jesus literally saying, "Look, it's not what goes into you." Now, at this point, Israel helps define itself as being different from all the other nations. Remember, the holy nation, which just means they're different from all the other nations. One of the ways that we're different is we abide by these food laws. We wash our hands not just once but twice before we eat. Before that, your disciples, they don't clean themselves before they eat. What's going on here? Right? So when he says, look, it doesn't matter what goes into you, that none of that defiles you. Basically, what is he saying? All foods are acceptable. Now, if for all these centuries you've been defining yourselves as a holy nation, predicated one aspect, predicated on the tradition of the food laws, what did he just say?
Get away from exclusion. It's all about inclusion.
Right?
Yeah. No, everybody's included.
And so it's not about the laws, your food laws. In this particular, we're talking about the food laws. There would have been others going on, right? Obedience to the tradition. And earlier in chapter 7, after he quotes Isaiah that you were making reference to, he says, look, you've abandoned your call of God for human tradition. Do you think obeying food laws it really identifies you as the beloved of God?
No.
So does God love the vegan more than the carnivore?
No.
Oh.
So in a sense, to be holy, set apart, isn't necessarily to be different or set apart. It's to try to include everybody.
But couldn't you be different and set apart based on what's on the inside?
Right.
Yeah.
While trying to include everybody.
Yeah. When you were talking about that, you said you made it's a process, you get better. So me, like a lot of people get that holy, set apart, they think they're better than. For me, it's like the Spirit's working in me, making me a better man. It's a process. It's not something that's happening within. So it's not that God says, hey, even though favor does come to the fruitful, favor does come to the faithful, it's not like God saying, hey, you're Justin, you're better than all these guys. You're my guy right here. But we are set apart to show this different, not for our glory, for his glory, to change others, defeat deceitful hearts. You know, it's not. You're not set apart just to be put on some shelf, like, oh, look at him. It's to get you doing the same thing that was done for you.
Stop looking at him and start looking like him.
So we may best understand this if you've been around the church for a while. And they say kind of the seven infamous words of the church is, we've never done it that way before. Now sometimes that's referring to certain traditions within a church. Now, if Jesus showed up to that particular church who kind of speaks those words, he said, do you really think those traditions, right, are what keep you pure? Because out of the heart is where the desire, the corruption, right? The hatred, the suspicion, all these other evils. So no matter what tradition you're following, right, you can still have the capacity of a deceitful heart. Now, part of our character matters study here with Jesus is looking at if Jesus is going to launch an alternative way, right, the kingdom. If Jesus is going to be the truly human one as the image bearer of God and the kingdom, God's kingdom bringer, right, with a cost of execution, that's all good for one man. But how does that impact the rest of us, particularly the way he's trying to impact here? Well, this is where we've learned that Jesus is addressing what Jeremiah said in chapter 17, verse 9, about the deceitful heart. So one of Jesus' tasks is to cure the deceitful heart, because out of the deceitful heart is where all this litany, right, of, in a sense, evil stems from, regardless of your tradition. So you can have the traditions and still have a deceitful heart. And we identify deceitful heart as being those wrong habits that are masquerading as right ones. Right? Because it allows us to continue to perpetuate the illusion. If we were to bring this somewhat full circle before we went on the air, and we've been studying about vocation, God calls the human to be the image bearer of God. They don't do so well. So God calls Israel to rescue the human so that they can properly bear God's image. Israel doesn't do real well either. So God calls Jesus to fulfill Israel's task. Right? Remember, recall reading that? So I intentionally use the word calls. God calls the human. God calls Israel. God calls Jesus. Has God called you? And if so, what has God called you to? And that's your vocation. So the last few moments we have on the air, would you like to kind of fill in that blank?
So yes, your vocation, sir, is more about what you are than what you do.
Yes. It is identity. Yeah, it's ontological. It's identity related.
So when your character matters, it's the matter of your character that becomes.
Yeah, I can't. Exactly. That's exactly it. In a sense, the character was already presupposed at creation. We see, you know, we jokingly say we get all kinds of characters in here. We're trying to make men of character, but not just a certain character. Not here. Jesus says, "I don't care what you with your Pharisees. I don't care what your character is. You think you're pious and everything because your character upholds tradition." Right?
Okay, so that
that's a wrong habit masquerading as a right one. That's a deceitful heart. Right? So the true vocation must have a right heart in alignment with the right purpose according to the intent of the Creator. Does that make sense?
So,
right.
You say something that that character is peaceful at birth. So how do you get that? I mean, the vocation is following Christ, because for me, that's what awakens it. That's what stirred up the spirit. That's what did change the heart condition and all that. So I think that, I wrote a bunch of stuff. Just one thing, it's like the root of it all is following Christ. I mean, so close to the dust of the sandals on you. And that's how you get that character. That's how it gets. Because I was dead and all rights to the world. That now it's a past life. But I was really asleep in it. Nobody told me. Nobody woke me up.
Paul speaks of that, yeah. We've been in a slumber.
That's why, like, Jesus gave a 12-year-old girl. He's like, "Look, I told you guys. You're idiots. She was sleeping. I'll give her a sandwich. I'll give you one too." Like, I told you she wasn't dead. You know?
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.